பத்ரம் கண்ணே பிஷ்ருணு யாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஷ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டுபாகம்சஸ்தனுபிஹி வ்யஷேம தேவஹி தய்யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தாக்ஷோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஓகே, வி ஹவ் கம்ப்ளீட்டட் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் டூ செக்ஷன்ஸ் அமுண்டக உபனிஷத் விச் ஃபார்ம் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர். So we have to enter into the new chapter. Before that, let me remind you what we have already seen. See, the entire Mundaka Upanishad consists of three chapters, and each chapter is known by the expression Mundakam. So we have Prathama Mundakam, Dvitiya Mundakam and Tritiya Mundakam. The three Mundakas mean three chapters. And each Mundakam consists of two sections. And sections are known as Khandaha. Therefore, there are three Mundakas in terms of three chapters. And there are six sections totally, Shat Khandaha. And we have completed the first Mundakam consisting of first two sections. And in this first Mundakam, in the first section, in the second section totally we can take, Upanishad first presents the, begins the teaching, presenting the grand information of the glorification of Guru Parampara, glorification of this Vedic teaching, saying that Brahma himself became the first, Brahma came into existence and Brahma became the first, the foremost of the lineage of teachers. And then Upanishad introduces the twofold Vidya as Paravidya and Aparavidya. How does it introduce? First, Upanishad teaches us the method of studying Upanishads. The Upanishad study must be with the help of the teacher. Therefore, Upanishad, the teaching must be imparted by a teacher, and a disciple must receive the teaching from his teacher who knows the sampradaya. To show that, Upanishad itself presents here, introduces the teacher and the taught. And here, Angiras, Rishi Angiras plays the role of a guru, the teacher. And Shaunakaha, the great householder, becomes the disciple. So this teaching is between, the teaching is imparted by Rishi Angiras to the disciple Shaunakaha. And this Shaunaka asks the teacher, what is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? And for which the teacher gives elaborate answer, and where the teacher introduces the two-fold Vidya, otherwise said with two branches of the knowledge in terms of Aparavidya and Paravidya. Of course, Aparavidya includes all disciplines of knowledge, including the words of Upanishads. So Aparavidya involves the going to the discipline of Karma Yoga and worship, prayer, meditation. All these different topics come under the category of Aparavidya. And paravidya is nothing but knowledge of the reality. The knowledge of the reality, absolute reality, obtaining in the form of a thought, rising from a thought alone is paravidya. This knowledge of reality, Brahman, is paravidya. And here then, having introduced this aparavidya and paravidya, Upanishad also says, makes it very clear that every student, every spiritual aspirant cannot leap directly to the paravidya. One has to go through the discipline of aparavidya. In the sense, one must go through the discipline of karma yoga. One must also be prayerful, worshipful. One must be given the discipline of meditation, and which will gradually prepare him for the attainment of jnanam, which is otherwise said to be paravidya. And his knowledge is said to be paravidya because this knowledge of the absolute reality, and this is the only knowledge which is capable of liberating the individual from bondage of samsara. And this knowledge presupposes mental refinement. So, if a person becomes mentally refined and he is adequately pure and steady, even that refinement itself will become inclination for the spiritual wisdom. A person who is not adequately prepared, the person who is not mentally prepared, definitely will not be interested in the Shastra, will not be inclined for the understanding of the teaching. Even to be inclined for the study of the Shastra and to be interested in the knowledge also is possible only if a person is adequately refined. Therefore, Upanishad says that one must go through these disciplines that is in place. And there it is said, and in order to have this aparavidya, the paravidya, of course one must approach a teacher. And when a person approaches the teacher, the teaching must be consistent teaching and continuous teaching, which must be pursued by a student with the commitment. So a systematic, regular, continuous study of the scripture for length of time, and from a competent teacher who knows the sampradaya, becomes the proper teaching. So with the help of the teacher, with the total commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, studying the Shastram alone is said to be having Guru Upasadanam. Guru Upasadanam means studying the Shastram with the help of the teacher, which means the spiritual knowledge should not be pursued independently without the proper guidance of a teacher. And who knows the method of unfoldment? So who can communicate well? So the student must have definitely Shraddha in the Shastram and also in the words of the teacher. So to express his respect for the teacher, the student must approach the teacher, and then of course the teacher also will, without any hesitation, will teach such a student who approaches him with Shraddha. And here we also understand the teacher who is approached also must be qualified. And the Upanishad beautifully says, the guru, the one who teaches, the no teacher ever calls himself a guru. The guru is a very big word. The student who studies with the teacher has to discover the guru in a person. When the teaching comes from the teacher does not contradict the reasoning. It contributes for his clarity of vision. As he listens, the more and more, when the clarity enhances, the student discovers the teacher in guru in a teacher, in a person who's teaching. Actually, guru must be Brahmanishtaha and Shrotriyaha. As I already said, Brahmanishtaha is the one who has himself or herself very clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality, obtaining as one's own self. And second thing, he must be a Shrotriyaha also. Shrotriyaha means a person must have profound knowledge of the Shastram, that he must have understood all the methods of unfoldment of the reality inbuilt in the Shastram. So the person who is a Shrotriya, having to study the Shastram from his teacher, and he must know all these methods. Thereby, who can communicate the same Shastram to his student? Well, we understand. So such a teacher definitely imparts his knowledge to this student, who is also qualified, who is relatively peaceful, who has a relative mastery over his mind. He teaches. We understood all this. And this Rishihi Angiris is the one the Upanishad presents as the teacher. And the Shaunakaha is the disciple. Okay. Now let us move on to the second chapter. Let us read the mantras first. So now, Prathama Mundake, Dvitiya Mundake Prathamaha Kandaha. We already completed the first two khandas of Pratham Mundakam. Now second Mundakam we are beginning. In the whole, after introducing the Aparapara Vidyas, the whole of second section, Upanishad only discussed the topic of Aparavidya in terms of performance of ritual, Agnihotra ritual, the Noha Agnihotra ritual, and the benefits of performance of ritual, and even practicing Upasanam, and combining Upasanam with the ritual, etc., formed the subject matter of the second khanda of the Upanishad. Now we are going to see Dvitiya Mundake Prathamaha Kandaha, the first section of the second chapter of Mundaka Upanishad. Tadetat Satyam. Tadetat Satyam. Yatha Sudiptat Pavakad Vispulinga. Yatha Sudiptat Pavakad Vispulinga. I told you already, please see, all of you memorize the mantras. Yatha Sudiptat Pavakad Vispulinga. Yatha Sudiptad Pavaka, Yatha Sudiptad Pavakad Vispulinga. Sahasrashav Prabhavante Sarupah. Sahasrashav Prabhavante Sarupah. Tathaksharad, Tathaksharad Vividha Somya Bhava. Tathaksharad Vividha Somya Bhava. Prajayante Tatra Chaiva Piyanti. Repeat. Tadetat Satyam Yatha Sudiptad Pavakad Vispulinga. Yatha Sudiptat Pavakad Vispulinga. Sahasrashav Prabhavante. Sahasrashav Prabhavante Sarupah. Tathaksharad Vividha Somya Bhavah. Tathaksharad Vividha Somya Bhavah. ప్రజాయంతి తత్ర చైవాపియంతి ప్రజాయంతి తత్ర చైవాపియంతి యథా సుదీప్తాత్ పావకాద్ విస్ఫులింగాః సహస్రశః ప్రభవంతే సరూపాః సహస్రశః ప్రభవంతే సరూపాః తథా క్షరాద్ వివిధా సౌమ్యభావాః తథా క్షరాద్ వివిధా సౌమ్యభావాః ప్రజాయంతే తత్ర చైవాపియంతి ప్రజాయంతే తత్ర చైవాపియంతి ఓకే దిస్ ది ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ సెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది సెకండ్ ముండక ఐల్ టెల్ ది లిటరల్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది మంత్ర దెన్ ఐమ్ గోయింగ్ టు ఎలాబరేట్ ఆన్ దిస్ సో హియర్ ఇన్ దిస్ whole of second chapter Upanishad is presenting only the topic of paravidya otherwise known as brahma vidya so tad etat satyam means tad etat means the absolute reality implied by the term brahman is satyam is absolutely real. And what is that Brahman? That Brahman is the cause of the universe. Cause of the universe. And from that Brahman alone, all the beings originate. And Brahman is implied with the term Aksharam. Aksharat vividaha bhavaha prajayante. You all can make out easily, Aksharat, from that imperishable reality, implied by the term Brahman, Vividaha Bhavaha, innumerable beings, Prajayante, are born. And here the teacher addresses the student as, Hey Somya, O beloved student, O pleasing one, hey Somya, Aksharat vividaha bhavaha prajayante. Prajayante are born. Prajayante means are born or originate. Vividaha bhavaha prajayante. So countless varieties of countless beings originate. From where? Aksharat. From imperishable reality, Brahman. Not only the beings originate from Brahman, tatra eva, tatra cha, tatra, there it's, tatra cha eva, cha and, tatra eva, there itself means in that Brahman itself, apiyanti, they return also, they resolve also, tatra eva apiyanti, all these beings again return to that Brahman and resolve in that Brahman itself. All the beings, varieties of countless beings originate from Brahman and they all again, they go back and return to Brahman and resolve in Brahman. Tatra cha cha and tatra eva apiyanti. They all go back and resolve there only in the same Brahman. And for which example is given? How? Yatha. Sudeeptat pavakat. Pavakaha means fire. First I have to give literal meaning, then I explain to you. Pavakaha means fire. There's a side note I want to tell you. Why fire is called pavakaha? Punati iti pavakaha. Fire purifies everything. Therefore, fire is given the title Pavakaha. Pavakatu, yatha, just as, Pavakatu, from the fire. And which sort of fire? Sudeeptat, Deepta means well kindled. Sudeepta, very well kindled. Blazing fire. Smokeless, well kindled fire is Sudeepta. Deepta is the participle, kindled. Sudeepta, very well kindled. The smokeless, very well kindled fire. Sudeeptaha pavakaha. And Sudeeptat pavakat, from very well kindled, smoke-free, blazing, huge conflagration of fire. Sudeeptat pavakat, vispulingaha. Spulingaha means spark. Vispulingaha also means bright sparks. Vispulingaha, bright sparks of light, sparks of fire, prabhavante originate. Vispulingaha prabhavante, vividaha bhavaha prajayante. See, vispulingaha, countless sparks of fire, sparks of light, prabhavante originate. From where? Sudeeptat pavakat. From well-kindled, blazing, smoke-free, huge conflagration of fire. Vispulingaha. How many? Sahasrashaha. In thousands. Okay? Thousands of sparks of light. Prabhavante originate. And each and every spark is of the same nature of the fire. Sarupaha, the similar in nature. All the sparks, which thousands of sparks, countless sparks of fire, which originate from the well-kindled huge conflagration of fire, all of them are of the same nature of fire. Sarupaha, vispulingaha, sahasrashaha, sudeeptat pavakat prabhavante. Yatha, just as. So just as from the very well kindled, smoke-free, blazing, huge conflagration of fire, thousands or countless sparks of same nature originate. Tatha, similarly, in the same way, aksharat brahmanaha, I'm adding the word brahmanaha, aksharat, from this imperishable, indestructible, absolute reality, vividhaha bhavaha, varieties of beings, countless beings, various countless beings, prajayante originate, are born. Not only they originate, tatra yecha eva apiyanti cha, and tatra eva apiyanti, they also return there only. They return there only means they resolve in that Brahman only. They originate from Brahman, then they also resolve in Brahman. Tadetat satyam, that Brahman is satyam. This is the literal meaning of the mantraha. So, the second chapter, first section begins the teaching in this mantra like this. Now, we have to understand. See, the Upanishad actually aims at revealing the non-refutable three abstract facts. The Upanishad aims to teach us non-refutable three abstract, profound facts. What are those three profound, non-refutable facts that Upanishad has? The first fact is the absolute reality is pure consciousness implied by the term Brahman. In Upanishadic language, you can say Brahma Satyam. Brahma Satyam means what? The absolute reality is Brahman. Brahman alone is absolutely real. What is Brahman? The reality which is free from all limitations, which is free from time limitation, which is free from spatial limitation, which is free from object limitation, which is always, which is everywhere, which alone is in the form of everything. That reality is implied by the term Brahman, alone is absolutely real. So Brahman alone is absolutely real. Other than Brahman, another fact Upanishad says is, this other than Brahman, everything else, in terms of the entirety of the objective universe, including all body, minds and complexes, or the entire objective universe, inclusive of all body, minds and complexes, is mithya. Brahma Satyam, mithya. Mithya means what? The universe is mithya, is the second fact it says. Universe is mithya means universe is not absolutely real. It is not absolutely real means it is as though real, seemingly real, apparently real. It seemingly real means it is as good as non-existent. And this universe is as though it is. It is not really there. What is only Brahman. This is the second abstract, non-refutable, profound fact. And thirdly, so Jagan Mithya, the third fact is what? Every individual being, every jiva, all jivas are an individual beings, or all individual beings are all none other than same Brahma. Jivaha Brahma eva na apraha. The jiva is nothing but Brahman. Jiva is Brahma. All individual beings, all jivas are Brahman only essentially. This is another, it's a third non-refutable profound fact. And here, the reality implied by the term Brahman is in the form of pure consciousness. Okay. And these are the three non-refutable profound facts. And to understand each and every fact, okay, the three facts, to understand each fact, one needs to systematically study, listen to the unfoldment of the teaching for a length of time, and also one needs to reflect on the teaching. Then one must dwell upon the teaching, thereby one can assimilate the teaching. Only then the fact will become a fact. Otherwise it will be a information. Only when the teaching is understood and assimilated, the teaching becomes fact. If it is not assimilated, then it will be just mere information, which does not serve any purpose. So here, Upanishad mentions that a person who is adequately prepared definitely can absorb the teaching. Of course, he can ascertain, assimilate the teaching also. By assimilating the teaching, the person can also enjoy the practical benefit of this knowledge. And here, suppose the students also are of three types. The students are of three types means there are Uttama Adhikarinaha. Uttama Adhikarinaha, who are blessed with the fourfold qualifications. Because of their Janmantra Samskaras or because of their serious commitment, and when they go through all the disciplines, karma yoga, worship, prayer, etc. properly, as a result of living a clean, disciplined, highly disciplined life with a commitment to dharma and as with the craving for spiritual wisdom, a person lived, such a person also becomes qualified for this teaching. As a Uttama Adhikari, the best, highly qualified, refined-minded student, for him, Shravanam itself is enough, Shastram says. Shravanam itself will be enough for such a student. Shravanam itself will bless him with the clear vision. And he can enjoy the benefit of the teaching. But most of the students will not be Uttama Adhikarinaha. They'll be Madhyama Adhikarinaha. Mediocre students. And such students need to go through Shravanam, Mananam, and also Nididhyasanam in order to enjoy the benefit of the teaching. And there will be also Manda Adhikarinaha. Manda Adhikarinaha, of course, have to go through all the disciplines. And gradually they also must come to the Shastram. For their sake, the teaching has to be also given with proper examples. If a person is Uttama Adhikari, then he can enjoy, he can go through the Shravanam and he can attain Jivan Mukti, Videha Mukti. Whereas people who are Madhyama Adhikaris, they need to re-listen again and again and again. So, Pauna Punyena Shravanam Kuryat. So, to understand the teaching. Of course, Manda Adhikaris also needs to repeatedly listen for a very long time, much longer time, to grasp the teaching, to assimilate the teaching. So, all the students, all of them are spiritual aspirants, but all of them are having the same goal, but all of them are not equally mentally refined. Therefore, the time taken for study becomes longer, much longer time. Same teaching, one must be listening again and again for a longer time. This is how the teaching has to be somehow grasped. And with this understanding, now let us see what exactly Shastram Upanishad says here. Upanishad presents a specific prakriya in this very first opening mantra itself. Upanishad presents the prakriya. Prakriya means a method of unfoldment. What is the prakriya or prakaraha or prakaranam Upanishad uses? In here, there is a karana karya prakriya or srishti prakriya. So srishti prakriya means the method of teaching involving the analysis of creation. The method of teaching involving the analysis of creation is called Srishti Prakriya. Or it can be said, the method of teaching involving the analysis of the cause-effect system. It is also known as Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya means the method of teaching where creation is accepted, then the creation is negated. So, Srishti, it is a method of teaching involving the analysis of creation means Upanishad has to talk about the universe, that how the universe has originated, from where it has come into existence. Even though Upanishad discusses the topic of creation, saying the universe has come into existence from Brahman, actually Upanishad is not at all interested in establishing the creation. The aim of the Upanishad is to help us arrive at what exactly is the reality of the universe. Which means, by presenting this teaching in terms of analysis of the creation, Upanishad actually aims at establishing the fact that the universe does not have independent existence of its own. And the universe has dependent existence. Therefore, universe is mithya. Mithya means it is only there seemingly, it is really not there. It is as good as non-existent. And to drive home this fact, Upanishad uses this method of analysis of this creation, which alone is said to be known as Srishti Prakriya. So here, the whole Jagat, how this entirety of the cosmos has come into existence. When you say entirety of the cosmos, it is inclusive of the subtle factors, time and space also. Because the srishtihi, the creation always begins with time and space. When the creation happens, where the creation happens, the question will arise. Therefore, always the subject matter of creation goes with these two subtle factors, time and space. In our understanding, time is already there. Space also is already there. Therefore, in already existent time and space, this universe comes into existence. This is the general understanding of any ignorant mind. But Vedanta Shastram assertively states, no, the universe does not originate in time and space. The universe does not originate in time and space. When you say the universe does not originate in time and space, what does it mean? The universe originates along with time and space. Universe does not originate in time and space, but universe originates along with time and space. Which means before the creation of the universe, there was no time, there was no space. If there's no time and space before the creation, what was there? What was there was the only reality. Reality alone was there before the universe originated. And that only reality alone, maybe it is looked upon differently by cosmologists as singularity. Even they do not say anything about time and space. Now, suppose in this teaching, how does the teaching, Upanishad present the teaching? Here Upanishad by saying, all these varieties of beings have come into existence from Aksharam, the imperishable reality, Brahman. Means, Upanishad presents Brahman as the Karanam, Jagat Karanam, the cause of the universe. So Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe. When Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe, then this formless reality alone is given a qualification of being Ishvaraha from the standpoint of the universe, the Lord of the universe. As Brahman is looked upon as the cause of the universe, then Brahman is given the qualification of being the Lord of the universe. See, Karanam Brahma, Jagat Karanam Brahma is looked upon as Karana Ishvaraha. And from that absolute reality, Brahman, the Karanam, the cause, this entirety of the cosmos has come into existence. If Brahman is looked upon as the cause, naturally, the world also is accepted as an effect, a product of Brahman. So, Karyam, Brahman is Jagat Karana means Jagat is Brahma Karyam. Brahman is Jagat Karanam. Jagat is Brahma Karyam, effect of Brahman. So Upanishad, even though first says Tadetat Satyam, even though Upanishad says, actually Upanishad first says Aksharat, means that the word Aksharam implies Brahman. So Brahman alone is said to be the cause. And there Upanishad does not mention the word Satyam. Now, when we have both cause and the effect, it becomes, when you look at the cause, Brahman as the cause, universe as the effect, then the cause-effect idea becomes clear. When the cause-effect idea becomes clear, then it is easy for us to understand that what is Satyam and what is Mithya. And in all our Upanishads, mainly in big main Upanishads, the traditional examples, the traditionally Upanishad gives its own examples. Always we say water and the ocean as cause-effect, cause and effect. Gold and ornaments as cause and effect. And wood and furniture as the cause and effect. If fiber and fabric as the cause and effect. These are examples generally used in the Shastra. It's not teachers' examples, all the examples used in the Shastra. So if we take any of these examples, it becomes very clear that cause alone is known as Satyam. Cause is Satyam. The cause which is said to be the Karanam in Sanskritam alone is Satyam. Why? Because cause enjoys existence independently. Cause is not dependent on the effect for its existence. So gold is not dependent on ornament for chain or bangle for its existence. Wood is not dependent on the furniture defect for its existence. The water is not dependent on ocean for its existence. Fiber is not dependent on fabric for its existence. So cause is not dependent on the effect for its existence. Cause can exist by itself independently without being an effect. Therefore, cause is satyam. Whereas, any number of products made of one cause, all those so-called products cannot exist independently without the cause. If we remove the gold, ornaments will disappear. If we remove the wood, furnitures will not be there. Without water, there cannot be ocean. Therefore, the effects do not exist independently without the cause. Therefore, they're all mithya. In fact, all the effects are non-substantial forms and names. Forms, names and functions. Because the cause alone is the substance. The effects do not have substance, substantiality of their own. Therefore, effects which exist, effects are existent means they enjoy existence borrowed from the cause. Therefore, they are mithya. So, if we understand this concept of satyam and mithya with all different examples, such as golden ornament, wooden furniture, etc. Now we can understand. So Brahman is said to be the cause of the universe means Brahman, from Brahman everything has come into existence means Brahman as the cause of the universe. Brahman is not dependent on anything in the world for its existence. Brahman can be without being the universe. Whereas the universe of innumerable countless forms, names and functions cannot exist independently without Brahman. Therefore, Brahman enjoying the qualification of being the Lord of the universe alone is satyam. The jagat, the universe is mithya. Why? Because there's no such a thing called world which can exist independently without Brahman. It means the world is inseparable from Brahman. The universe is inseparable from Brahman. So this is how the teaching will be presented here. Therefore, now let's come to the mantra. How does the Upanishad begin its teaching? First Upanishad states, Tadetat Satyam. Tadetat Satyam. So, Tad, Etad, all of you know very well now, two pronouns. Tad means that, Etad means this. And two pronouns, third person, singular, neutral gender words, pronouns are used, Tad, Etad together. So, Tad, Etad means that Brahman, that absolute reality is now this world. That reality is in the form of this world. Tad, Etad. So, Tad and Etad, both words imply only the reality. The reality which was there before the origination of the universe was Brahman. And the same reality now is in the form of this universe. What was there was Brahman. What is now also is Brahman. Tad Brahman, Etad Brahman. That was Brahman, that was the truth, this is also the truth. Brahman alone is. Tade tad, and that Brahman is satyam. Tade tad satyam. So both tad and etad, both words mean actually Brahman only. Why? Because that Brahman which alone was there, which alone is now in the hem of the universe, is going to be discussed, analyzed, where in this whole of this second mundaka, consisting of two khandas, two sections. So, tadetat satyam. And what is that Brahman? So, Brahman, which forms the main subject matter of the entire second chapter, implies the pure consciousness. And this consciousness implied by the term Brahman alone is really there. Consciousness implied by the term Brahman alone is really there means this universe really not there. Universe is not there really. The universe is not there means the universe does not exist at all. Brahman alone is. It is very difficult to accept this fact. This is a fact. See, when we go and watch a film in a cinema, we see all forms of scenes in a movie, but nothing is really there. When the lights are turned off, we can see only the screen. We do not see anything. The man, woman, people, movements, and then travels, this whole story, the whole thing is happening, but really nothing is there. Actually, what is there in the cinema is only the screen. But when the lights are turned on, it is on, we see on the screen alone, we see the whole thing. Similarly, here, Brahman, absolute reality, which is like the screen, how in which alone, without touching, painting the screen, the whole film moves. Similarly here, in this Brahman, without touching, painting this Brahman reality, the whole Jagat, all its experiences exist. And that Brahman alone is Satyam. Tadetat Satyam. Okay. Then Upanishad says, Vividhaha, Vividhaha, Sarupaha, Bhavaha, Prajayante. Vividhaha, Sarupaha, Bhavaha, Prajayante. Sarupaha goes like that. Vividaha sarupaha. Sarupaha is actually comes in the first line. From where varieties of countless beings originate from where? Aksharat. From Aksharam Brahma. And we all know very well, instead of using the word Brahman, Brahma, Aratma, Upanishad specifically uses the term Aksham because already we were introduced to this. This word was introduced to us because Brahman is of the nature of imperishability, indestructibility. It's indestructible reality. Therefore, Upanishad uses the term Aksharam. And Aksharam means what? Imperishable means it is not subject to change. Already Upanishad reveals the fact. As a cause, it must really undergo change. But this reality, which is presented as the cause of the universe, is unchangeable, imperishable reality. And from that imperishable, changeless reality alone, all these varieties of beings, living and non-living things, come into existence. Animate, inanimate, mobile, immobile, all the beings originate from this Brahman. So Upanishad implies here living beings, of course non-living things, and all beings originate. So vividhaha means what? Variety. Various beings of different, beings of different natures, they originate. Even though essentially all are one, but they are different in their forms, names and functions and their swabhavas. And here, of all the beings, the most sophisticated, the most sophisticated of all these beings, among all the beings, living creatures are more sophisticated. The most sophisticated of all the living beings is a human being. And there are beings which are relatively evolved. There are living beings which are very, very, which are of inferior caliber, the very basic living needs. And we also have minute organisms, unicellular organisms, amoeba, paramecium. Now we have to include corona, this delta virus, whatever it is. All these have come into existence only from Brahman. So the teacher addresses the student as, "Hey Soumya, oh pleasant one, oh beloved student, Rajayante." So, and not only originate, apiyanti, all of them, they return also to the same Brahman. So when there is a time, something called death happens, and they return to the same Brahman. And even Mahapralayam happens, they return to the same Brahman. That's why we have beautiful verse. You must have read somewhere. Akashat patitam toyam yatha gacchati sagaram sarvadeva namaskaraha keshavam prati gacchati. Sarvadeva namaskar. Akashat patitam toyam yatha sagaram gacchati. The water coming from, falling from this space, sky, all of them go towards only one ocean. Similarly, all the beings return only to one Ishvara, one Bhagavan, who is another than Brahma. Even though water falls from Akasha, actually water which got evaporated from the ocean alone goes up, comes, falls in the form of rains, and again goes back to, and flowing through the rivers, they all go back to the ocean only. They all go back to the same place where they come from. Therefore, we are going to see later on the following mantras. We are going to have beautiful mantras following later on. From Brahman alone, living beings originate. Non-living things also come into existence. Everything, the whole Jagat originates from Brahman. We'll be seeing it run. So, cha tatrayeva apiyanti. They all return to the same. And to teach this, Upanishad presents a beautiful example here. What is the example here? What we have different examples given in different Upanishads. And here, vispulingaha, sahasrashaha, prabhavanti, vispuling, sarupaha, vispulingaha, sahasrashaha, prabhavanti. So from huge conflagration of well-kindled, blazing fire, thousands of countless sparks are born. Similarly, here, this Param Brahma, the absolute reality, otherwise glorified as Parama Atma, the absolute self, or Ishwaraha, who also enjoys the qualification of Ishwara, who is like the fire, and all the jivas are born. Every jiva is like a spark of the fire. So here we say this reality implied by the term Brahman is that which is of the nature of all pervasiveness and timeless. And that reality is what? Consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is like the fire. And jiva originating from this consciousness, who is the jiva? The same consciousness obtaining within the body, mind, sense complex enclosure, same consciousness obtaining within the body, mind, sense complex enclosure alone is given the qualification jivaha. Jivas are born. So sudiptat pavakat yatha vispulingaha sahasrashaha prabhavanti. So from one fire many sparks come. Similarly from one all pervasive timeless reality, consciousness, countless, innumerable, countless beings in terms of jivas come into beings. Therefore, any living creature, whether it's the most exalted human being, most sophisticated human being, or the very, very minute organisms, unicellular organisms also, all of them are the jivas which have originated from the same Brahman. And how these sparks originate in thousands of sparks. So jivas are countless jivas originate from Brahman. And here, sarupaha, all of them are of similar in their nature. Similar means what? Brahman is of the nature of, reality is of the nature of consciousness. Therefore, jiva is also of the nature of consciousness. Every jiva is a conscious being. That is why we're able to feel. We're able to feel, experience pain, pleasures, heat and cold, etc. because we're all conscious beings. But what is the difference between jiva and Brahman? Reality implied by the term Brahman is of the nature of all pervasiveness. All pervasive. Whereas this jiva obtaining within the body, mind, and its complex is as though enclosed. But still, this consciousness obtaining within the body, mind, and its complex and the consciousness pervading the whole jagat is one and the same. There's no difference. So every jiva is none other than the same consciousness, but obtaining within the body, mind, sense complex enclosure. This we also understood already. The one Mahan Akasha, one indivisible, undivided, partless space, obtaining within the pot enclosure, is seemingly divided, is not really divided, because space cannot be divided. Similarly, consciousness is one indivisible, partless whole. But here, the same consciousness is as though divided within this body man's complex enclosure. Really speaking, they're one and the same. Therefore, sarupaha, when you say, every spark of fire is also hot and brilliant. Even though it's a tiny little spark, but every tiny little spark also has the light, the brilliance, and the heat of the same fire. In the same way, all the jivas are also of the nature of consciousness. The sarupaha. So here what we have to understand, there is a something called a lakshanam. Lakshanam means a definition. We have two different definitions. One is tatastha lakshanam, another one is swarupa lakshanam. Tatastha lakshanam and swarupa lakshanam. What is tatastha lakshanam? If Bhagavan is presented as the cause, and if we say everything has come into existence from Bhagavan, the whole jagat is nothing but Bhagavan. If we say we arrive at Bhagavan as the one in the form of the universe, as the cause of the universe, we are helped to arrive at Bhagavan as the one from whom the universe has come into existence. It is called tatastha lakshanam. We understand Brahman in terms of its nature of consciousness, pervasiveness, timelessness, etc., is called swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. Therefore, knowledge of the ignorance of the reality is in fact ignorance of the cause is ignorance of the If the ignorance of the cause is resolved, then we will see there will not be any effect. Tatastha lakshanam means here the reality is qualified, given the qualification of Bhagavan Ishwaraha. When you reality looked upon as the cause of the universe. When such connection is made with the universe, when Brahman as the cause of the universe, as the Lord, is connected with the universe, then it is known as tatastha lakshanam. The tatastha lakshanam is a definition which connects the reality as the Lord with the universe. The definition which connects the reality with the universe, the connecting definition, is known as tatastha lakshanam. And here in this opening verse, opening mantra of the second chapter, Upanishad actually presents the tatastha lakshanam. And we are going to see the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman in the next mantra, the following mantra. So, Tatastha Lakshanam is a connecting definition wherein Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe. There is a relationship between Brahman and the Tatastha Lakshanam presents the relationship between Brahman and the universe as the cause and the effect. Whereas in Swarupa Lakshanam, we'll understand Brahman as the very how Brahman is. In what form does Brahman obtain? When we understand it is the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman, which you will see in the second verse only. Now, we have to understand certain features pertaining to the cause and the effect. Whether we take the example of gold or wood, gold and ornaments or wood and furniture or fiber and fabric, one thing must be very clear. With reference to the fiber and the fabric or gold and the ornaments or wood and the furnitures, the cause is one. Wood is the only cause, but the furnitures made out of wood are many. And here, the cause becomes the substance. So, cause is one. Then, second fact is, the cause is the very substance. Cause is the substance. The effect has no substance. There's no such a thing called substance called effect. Cause alone is the substance. Cause alone becomes the content of all the effects. I can say wood becomes the very content of any form, chair or table or door, etc. Fiber becomes the content of the fabrics. Gold becomes the very substance of any substantive chain or bangle, etc. So cause is one, and the cause is the very substance, the content. And the third feature of the cause is always the same. Cause is there before the effect comes into existence, cause is already there. Before the chain is made, cause is there already there in the form of gold. And even after the chain or bangle is made, cause continues to be there in the form of the cause in terms of gold continues to be there in the form of chain. Even when the chain or ornament is melted again, the form goes, effect is destroyed, still the cause continues to be there in the form of a gold. So cause was there before the cause in terms of gold is there before the ornament comes. Even after the ornament comes, cause continues to be there in the form of an ornament. Even when the effect in terms of the ornament is destroyed, the cause in terms of gold continues to be there. Which means cause is always permanent. Cause is always there in all three periods of time. So cause is one. Cause is the very substance, and cause is free from the past, present and future. The time. Cause is free from time. Means cause is always there. Ever existent. Cause continues to be, cause is ever existent. And fourth feature of the cause is, the cause is independent. Cause enjoys independent existence. And cause alone is in the form of existence of all the effects. The water is in the form of existence of the ocean. In fact, the cause obtains in the form of existence of the effects. Gold is in the form of existence of the ornaments. Wood is in the form of existence of the furniture, means cause is always in the form of existence, which means cause obtains in the form of existence, means cause is independently existence. Cause is of the nature of existence with reference to its own on effects. So cause enjoys independent existence. Therefore, with reference to the effects, respective effects, any cause becomes satyam. This one, the cause which is one, the cause which is the very substance, the content, the cause which is ever existent, the cause which is ever existent, timeless, and which is of the nature of existence with reference to its effects, which has independent existence, is satyam. You can say yekam. You see that there's a beautiful verse we have, that's Guru Stotram. Brahmanandam paramasukhadam kevalam jnanamurtim dvandvatitam dvandvatitam gagana sadrisham tattvamasyadilakshyam yekam nityam vimalamachalam sarvadhi sakshi bhutam ekaha karanam ekam karanam satyam. No, it is sarana. Karanam is vastu. Content means vastu. Karanam ekam. Karanam is vastu. Karanam is nityam. And karanam is swatantram. Karanam is satyam. It is independent, therefore it is the truth. Therefore, for us, who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan is, we can say, ekaha sarabhutaha nityasthitaha satyaswarupaha Bhagavan. We can say that. Ekam nityam vimalamachalam sarvadhi sakshibhutam bhavatitam trigunarahitam. We say that in that verse. All our verses present Bhagavan Swarupam as what? One. Bhagavan is the only truth. Bhagavan is the very content, substance of the substantive world. Bhagavan alone, as the truth is always before the universe comes into existence, becomes manifest, Bhagavan is there. After the universe comes into existence also, Bhagavan alone is in the form of the universe. After the universe resolves also, dissolution also, Bhagavan continues to be there, having the unmanifest universe. And his Bhagavan alone is the only truth of the whole. This is Bhagavan is Satyam. And what about the Karyam? What are the features of the Karyam? You have to understand, if Bhagavan is one, the effects are many. When you say the cause is one, effects are many. So Brahman is one, the world of plurality, the world is of the plurality. And Brahman is the substance, the world has no substantiality. Remove the water, where is the ocean? Remove the gold, where is the ornament? Minus Brahman, where is the Jagat? Jagat is a non-substantial form, name and functions. Not even countable. There's no substance called effect at all. There's no substance called ocean. There's no substance called wave. There's no substance called, you know, chain or bangle minus gold. Similarly, there's no substance called world minus Brahman. And Brahman is always there. World comes, world exists, and world goes. World means, the universe comes, exists and disappears. Whereas Brahman is always. And the universe does not have independent existence of its own, whereas Brahman has. Brahman is Swatantram, Jagat is Paratantram. Therefore, Brahman is Satyam. And what is this Jagat? the non-substantial forms, names and functions which come and go, subject to change, which does not have independent existence of its own, this jagat is as good as non-existent. It is as though there. Therefore, it is mithya jagat. We don't say jagat is absolutely non-existent because it is available for experience and enjoyment. At the same time, if you analyze the jagat has no independent existence of its own. It has no substantiality of its own. It comes and goes in the absolute reality. Therefore, it is as though it is mithya. Neither satyam nor tucham, it is mithya. Okay? And such a world, how should we take that word? Should we take that? So such a world, such a jagat should not be dependent upon for our happiness or security. So for us, the only source of happiness and security is the reality enjoying the qualification of Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is the only source of happiness which can be relied on. Who's reliable. Therefore, the world of plurality, not having any substantiality, which is subject to time, which comes and goes, which does not have. Therefore, it is perishable, anityam, comes and goes. Therefore, Upanishad makes it very clear. Brahma satyam jagati smithya. The universe has come into existence from Bhagavan, means Bhagavan is the karana, means the whole jagat is nothing but form and name of Bhagavan only. Universe is another name for Bhagavan. There is no world other than Bhagavan, other than Brahma. The forms, names and functions are manifestations. So before the creation, the universe originated, there was Brahman alone without forms, names and functions. After the manifestation, the universe is nothing but Brahman with forms, names and functions. Water with form and name is ocean or waves. Water without form and name is what? Is the water. So Brahman with forms, name, innumerable countless forms, names and functions is the jagat. And Brahman without forms, names, without the jagat is what? Brahman only. So unmanifest is Brahman, the manifest is the jagat. Therefore, all these forms, names and functions are not newly created. They were already unmanifest in Brahman. The forms, names and functions which are already unmanifest in Brahman alone become manifest as the universe. Therefore, the universe is not creation. Universe is only the manifestation of for unmanifest forms, names and functions which are already there as Brahman. When this all these forms, names and functions remain as unmanifest in Brahman, the unmanifest forms, names and functions obtaining in Brahman alone together are known by one term, Maya. Maya is a Vedantic jargon, Vedantic technical expression implying the unmanifest forms, names and functions. So the unmanifest forms, names and functions, obtaining potential condition alone is known as Maya. Therefore, if we say what is Maya, Maya is nothing but the universe unmanifest is Maya. Maya manifest is the universe. What is Maya? The power of reality unmanifest is Maya. The power of reality manifest is the universe. The power of reality unmanifest is called ignorance. The power of reality manifest is knowledge. So Maya stands for ignorance. Universe stands for knowledge. And the source of knowledge and ignorance, the source of unmanifest universe in terms of Maya, the source of the manifest universe is nothing but Brahman. Whether unmanifest or manifest, whether in the form of Maya or in the form of unmanifest forms and names and functions, or manifest forms, names and functions, whether in the form of Maya, ignorance, or in the form of universe, the universe doesn't have existence outside of Brahman. Therefore, all whole Jagat is Brahma, and every conscious Jiva obtaining in every body, mind and complex is also Brahman only. So it is from this Brahman alone, world of plurality of objects of living and animate and inanimate beings come into existence. Therefore, the Jiva is also Brahma. Jagat is also Brahma. There's nothing which is not Brahma here. What is that Brahman essentially? That we will discuss in our next class. Any questions from here?
Swamiji, what does Swatantram and Paratantram mean?
Yeah, Swatantram means independent. Paratantram means dependent. The world is dependent on Brahman, whereas the Brahman is not dependent on the world. Having one's own independent existence is called Swatantraha. Swatantriyam. Swatantriyam, independence. Paratantriyam means dependence. I'm using the nouns now. Bhagavan Swatantraha Jagat Paratantram. When you say Paratantriyam Swatantriyam. Noun. Independence and dependence. Is it clear? Yeah. See, we take this, when we go to other openings, we give examples. I use Adhyaropa, Pavadanal, but here I didn't do all that because in Mundaka Upanishad, we don't need to do those negation and all that. We understand here a little differently. I think you understand the features pertaining to the cause and the features pertaining to the effect. This was it clear? It's okay. I told 4 or 5 features. Remember, cause is one, effects are many, cause is substance, effects are non-substantial, forms, names and functions, and cause is permanent, always there, effect comes and goes. And cause is as independent existence, effect has different existence. Okay, this we understand. I didn't elaborate on this, but the features must be very clear. So based on these features, we can understand as this whole Jagat is where? Self-Brahma, in Brahman only. When we do the following, the Swarupam, in the next mantra is going to present the Swarupa Lakshanam. Understood what is Tatastha Lakshanam? Actually, I didn't explain the word Tatastha. See, Tataha means a river bank. Okay, the bank of the river is called Tataha. I'll take a few minutes extra, 1 or 2 minutes, not too long. Tataha means bank of the river. Tatastaha means something which is standing on the bank. Okay, for example, a tree. And you, when you want to show something, suppose you have to show, in those days, people had to guide somebody. Okay, somebody wants to go to somebody's hut, village. In the villages, they used to have huts. And not agricultural farms, farms everywhere. Houses won't be very close like in cities. So you have to go to somebody's house. Somebody is living in a village. And they had to guide. The person will show. Come on, see from here, there's a river flowing. Other side of the river is what? There's a bank. Okay, bank of the river. On the bank of the river, you see one tree. Or two trees. And from the tree, if you go straight, and you will see something else, and there another tree, and then you will find a house, and that's on the top of the house, you can see a crow sitting. Okay? This is how they used to guide. This is our GPS, okay? They have to not this. Therefore, like that, how you use the something standing on the river bank and show the way to the person. So also here, Brahman by present, so in the same way, Upanishad by presenting Brahman as the cause of the universe and presenting universe as the effect of Brahman, finally by making you understand, arrive at, analyze this whole creation, you will say there's no universe. You will say, finally, what is, there's only Brahma. You see, oh, yes, there is clay and there is pot and the clay is the cause. The pot has come from clay and you see the pot, pot serves a purpose, pot is very useful. You like it because you enjoy it. Then what is this pot? You see top, all the whole pot you repeatedly see again and again, top to bottom. Oh, the pot, wherever I see every part of this, the whole pot is nothing but clay. You say that. When you say pot is clay, then you analyze. Can this, is there something called a pot? No. If you take the clay as a clay, and what is the substance of the word pot? The pot is a word. Clay is the substance with reference to clay pot. The pot is a non-substantial form, name and function, isn't it? The word pot, the pot has no substance. There is no such a thing called substance called pot. It's a non-substantial form. Then you say what? Oh, there is no pot actually. What is only clay is in the form of the pot. When you say there's no pot, you're negating the effect. If there's no effect called pot means, there's only clay means. And can you call clay a cause? Once you say there's no pot, then you cannot call clay a cause. And you say what? There's neither cause nor the effect. What is only the clay in the form of the pot? Similarly, there's no jagkaranam, jagat karanam Brahma. There's no jagat. Brahman alone is in the form of the universe. So the whole jagat is Brahma. When you arrive at it, and this, and Brahman as Brahman is in the form of the existence of the universe. Is you understand Brahman being manifest as the jagat. Only thing is, before the manifestation, what was only the forms, names and functions were unmanifest. And they become manifest. So the unmanifest forms, names and functions becoming manifest is this jagat. When the jagat becomes unmanifest, all the forms, names and functions remain unmanifest. Then you give a name Maya. Is it clear? In fact, I used to today the unmanifest. So we say Shaktihi. The power of reality unmanifest is called ignorance. The power of reality manifest is knowledge. So Brahman is the source of both knowledge and ignorance. Brahman, which is actually of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, is the source of both knowledge and ignorance. Because ignorance and knowledge do not exist outside of Brahman. And otherwise you can say Maya and Jagat. Jagat stands for knowledge, Maya stands for ignorance. Everything is knowledge here. The whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge manifest is the universe. Universe unmanifest is ignorance. Ignorance is what? That's the power of reality. Anyway, it will become much clearer when we do the rest of the mantras also. It's only just introduction. Is it clear? So every jiva is Brahma. Jivaha brahmaivana paraha. That's why sarupaha, when we say. Anyway, it will become much clearer when we continue our classes. It will become clearer.